Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Women in Business Radio Show with Sian Murphy, connecting women in business around the globe.
Hello and welcome into the Women in Business Radio Show studio. This is our second show of the day and I'm getting a bit tongue-tied. It doesn't normally happen. Adele, can you do me a favour? I've got a bottle of water in that big flowery bag.
Okay, yeah.
Of course, I should have done this in the break, shouldn't I? So, I'm Sian Murphy and my co-host is lovely. She's just opening the water. Thank you. It's lovely, Adele. Say hello, Adele.
Hello. No, I've just given you a bottle of water and opened it for you.
She did. She said, like, "Hang on a minute. Hang on, a bit of a glug. Hang on."
Do the sound effects. Glug, glug, glug.
Yeah. Okay.
love it.
So, who have we got in the studio with us today? We have got. I know I'm going to get this name wrong because you told me how to say it. Now, all I can think about is the way that you told me how to say it. It's Katrina Festerazzi, like paparazzi. Did I get that
right? That's right. Yes.
Okay. Also in the studio with us today, we have Maddie, who is with us on work experience. So welcome into the studio, Maddie. And Maddie is here. Well, she's supposed to be getting some work experience. I'm not sure. This is an experience, I guess. I'm not.
We can give the experience.
Yes. But during the week, Maddie has also, she's been in the office. She's been using Canva to create images that we're going to be posting out on social media. And as a photographer and writer, hopefully she's going to be sure she will find that useful as well. So what are we going to be talking about in this show? We are talking about getting confident with having your photos done for business, because Katrina is actually a photographer and she's the founder of Fast to Photo, and she specializes in business photography, getting headshots done, all of that sort of thing. Now, I have a particular problem with photography. I'm going to say this. I don't like having my photo taken. And there's a particular reason for that, is that you know how most people sort of have an issue with their sort of body image. Yeah. And they don't like the way that they look. They think this is too big, that's too small. You say, I'm not like that. I think I look fantastic until I see the reality. You see, because the reality.
The opposite.
It is the entire opposite. You see, I look at this face in the mirror and I do something. I do something with this face that makes me look like a young Brigitte Bardot. And then the photographs are taken. And I look like an old codfish. And it's actually all rather distressing. I've been having my eyebrows redone this week, so I've been having a bit taken off because they settled in different ways. And one thing I have learnt is that having your eyebrows and aesthetic makeup done isn't a one hit wonder. It's like a journey. Mm-hmm. It sort of keeps going until you get to the right space. So at the moment I'm a bit scabby because I'm having my eyebrows done, and as part of that process, the lady who does my eyebrows, Cherie Bennett, thank you, Cherie, it sort of takes photographs. Goodness me. Well, it's truth. I don't know. I look like a corpse.
I was going to say, some of them do look like that.
I looked like a corpse. I looked like somebody had punched me in the eye, in both eyes, actually, because I had like these brown marks underneath them. I looked about 100. It was all very distressing. And now I won't let her show me the photos. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them. You just take them. him, that's fine. Yeah. No, that ain't happening. They're for her use only. They're going nowhere else. Nobody else is seeing these photos. So that's my particular problem with photography. I don't like having my photograph taken, because what it does is it actually reveals bits of me that I don't really like to be seen, to be honest.
It's amazing, isn't it, how I think a lot of it is perception. So, like you're saying, it's about having that connection with what you actually look like, and that can be a bit of a shock for people when they see the images back. And I think also a big thing is your journey through life. So when you're younger, you might have a bit more confidence, and I've certainly found working with women of a certain age, their confidence does go. You'd think as they got older, sometimes you would get a bit more confident. But when it comes to your business, but how you look are two different things. So you might be confident in your business, but not confident about putting yourself out there in images for your business. Mm. And I think a menopause has a big play on that. And obviously Adele will agree with me on this one. And, you know, when I look back at myself in my 20s, now in my, 'cause I'm 45 today, so happy birthday.
Oh, happy
to me.
Birthday.
But at the time when the picture was taken, I'd look back at it and I'd think, oh, God, I look a bit fat. But now at 45, I think, oh, my God, what? You were so skinny back then. What is your problem? Now you're fat. And when I'm 65, I'm going to be looking at my pictures from today going, you thought you were fat. You are fat now. You know, so, again, I think it's that journey that you take through life, and your face changes, your body shape changes. As women, there's so much that change. You know, as you were saying, you know, you might need your eyebrows done. You might need your lips because you're losing your lips. We get that grey hair. You might not be happy about
having
grey
hair
or no hair. Yeah. Exactly. So there's all these things. So it's I wish I had a magic wand. My magic wand is my Photoshop ability. But at the end of the day, I always say to my clients, if you are having headshots done, you have to look like you. The amount of times on social media, I have conversations with women, and I've had a conversation with them for 2 years. Mm. And then I meet them at a networking event.
And it's like, whoa.
No, they'll talk at me and I'm like, oh,
who
talking,
is that person?
They're talking as if they know me. And I go along and I'm like, yeah. So if you have had a conversation with me and I look glazed over, there's a reason, because I don't know who you are. Yeah. Because you do not look like your headshot. And that's a big problem. And I do a lot of corporate, I don't just do photography, I do videography as well. So video is a whole different ballpark. You know, I mean, just trying to get people confident in front of the camera speaking. People don't like their voice. They don't like their mannerisms. They say that, you know, they pull funny faces. They use their hands too much. I'm Italian. I use my hands all the time. I'm used to it. But it's a hard thing. And I think being confident, if you can entrust yourself with a photographer that will sit down and go through your journey with you and understand you deeply, as we were talking about in the previous show, knowing your message and what your values are is really important when it comes to the type of photography that you want to promote your business. And colours, what you're wearing, has a massive impact on how you look as well in the images.
What we're going to do, we're going to come back to this conversation, and we are going to look at how you can choose the right photographer for you, because there's so many people out there that are doing photography. How can you pick the right photographer, and some tips about getting a headshot? I think a headshot is a really good starting place, because it's comparatively easy to get. It's the sort of thing that you need across all sorts of things if you're going to be using social media, and it's probably the most affordable way of starting out is to get a headshot done. So we're going to be talking about what makes a good headshot, what makes a bad headshot. But first of all, we've got some little sort of introductory bits, haven't we? Do you think we need to tell them how they listen to us again? I'm sick to death of hearing it. Okay. Should we do it?
Spotify, Audible, Alexa, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker and Heart is the best way to listen to us.
We're not going
to
say that thing about Heart, though. No. And you can connect with us on... Go on, you can do it.
With Twitter on WIB Radio Live. Instagram is the Women in Business Radio Show. Facebook and LinkedIn is the Women in Business Radio Show. That's the best way to connect with us.
And this is the second show of the Women in Business Radio Show. And this is the Fit for Business focus we have on this show. And Adele, who is the sponsor of one of the sponsors of the Women in Business Big Show, and who is going to be, as far as I can see, just dominating, taking over the Fit for Business zone, actually, on the day, on August the 25th. Mm. So you can see Adele at the Women in Business Big Show. You can hear her here as well. If you want to become a member of the Women in Business Radio Show, we would love you to do that. And you can do that by visiting the womeninbusinessradioshow.com. And on there, there's a little thing somewhere that says become a member. And what you get for £7 a month is you get a premium newsletter. You get all of the information coming out. But the most important thing, forget about that, you get a big thank you because we love you.
Yep,
and you're keeping us on the air. Now, I don't know about you, might not want to. Perhaps you want to get us off. But what we're doing here is what we want to do is to provide a platform for women in business to come on, to share their business, to get experience being on the radio. And for it to be affordable and accessible so you can help towards that goal, that would be absolutely fantastic. Because at the moment, we don't charge, do we?
No, we don't.
We don't. We do ask people to become a member. I'm having one of those days today. I'm a bit snotty. Sorry.
Paul, we're fine. We're clean up.
And Fit for Business, we have one of our cafe. This is a local event. We have one of our Cafe in the Calm events with the Psychic Health and Beauty Fair, which is our Saturday. It is at Raynham. It is the Lee Academy at Raynham, where we are starting our focus there on health. And in fact, Adele is going to be running the menopause workshop there starting on the 27th of August.
Yes, I am.
So that is a full day workshop on what's going to be in it, Adele?
We're going to be talking through, first of all, understanding without the myth what the true symptoms are, and also, you know, working through the solutions. But it's real. There's nothing. Everything I will give you is practical there, and you will go away with everything you need to be smart, sassy and strong through menopause. So that's what we're going to do.
And we have limited space available on that, don't we? And it's £75 a head for the day.
Yep.
And that includes your tea and coffee. You'll have to bring your own sandwiches, though.
Yep. And
I can't cater for all of that lot.
absolutely. And do you know what? Practical things and then ongoing support in the community as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So it doesn't end there.
No, it doesn't.
We have a cafe in the Calm community. You can become involved with that. Adele has her own community for supporting women with menopause, and people who attend that become part of that community. Okay, let's go on to some of our regular little features about just sort of some things that we've discovered during the week about ourselves. Have we already done what I learnt this week?
No.
We haven't. No. We did that last time. Okay, not to worry. What have you learnt this week, Adele?
I'm going to say hourly rate. So sometimes when we are running around and someone says, can you do X, Y and Z? Can you go and wash that? Can you iron that? Can you cook? Actually, I step back and say, my hourly rate, it would be better to employ somebody. And do you know what? Where before, I should do that. And actually, no. So, and I'm applying that from next week onwards. This is my hourly rate. And if I'm doing something that I can get somebody else to do at a less hourly rate than me, I can spend more time on my business and not apologise for it. With people think, oh, you're working from home. Can you just?
I've been adopting that philosophy for a while, but there are certain things sort of around the house that I don't. I leave it because I think, actually, I have to get up and move. At some point, I have to get away from this screen and move and do something.
Yeah.
And so sort of being practical, yes, all right, you can go out for a walk, but there are times when you sort of need to get on your hands and knees and actually do things that require you to step out of that sort of linear walking around. Very often I won't get to the gym, that sort of thing. So if you have to sort of bend down and start hoovering underneath a cupboard to do something, it sort of almost forces you into that.
But also, absolutely, but it's your choice.
Your
choice rather than be apologetic and do something without explaining to someone.
I tell you what, the hourly rate thing, and it's also really useful to apply that to things like networking. If you apply your hourly rate to networking, then and this is your one-to-one hourly rate. So I use the rate that I charge if I'm sitting with somebody doing business strategy. And if I apply that to going to just an average thing, it works out that that's cost me about 800 quid. And what have I got from it?
Exactly.
Sometimes, actually, what I've got is out. And that's okay. I love that. So look at your hourly rate and make a decision. You know, are you going to do this yourself or are you going to get somebody else to do it?
Yeah.
What have you learned this week, Katrina?
Well, I'm going to jump on what you were saying about the hourly rate. So I've helped my daughter set up her business. Yeah, she's 9 years old. Yeah. And I sat down and worked out with her. I said to her, right, each product you sell, you've got to divide your income into three. Yeah. So obviously your wages, what your tax and investment would be. Yeah. And when she worked out how much she'd be getting, so divide it into three, her third. And then she said, oh, well, actually, she said, Mum, that took me 30 minutes to do, and I've just been paid £2.50. I said, well, that's not bad, is it, for a nine-year-old? I said, you'd get less if you were doing a paper round. And she said, yeah, and I did it in my pyjamas. So it's a win-win. So, so I like the hourly rate, and I'm trying to get her to think along those lines. But also, back at you on the networking, because, yes, I agree with you on the networking, and you've got to think that, what am I going to get out of this? Is it going to be the same in monetary terms? But I've met some amazing people through networking.
Which is why I said sometimes it's getting out.
I go on holiday with them.
But you have to make that judgment, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. So some of them I go, okay, well, actually, I've got a client booked today. I'm not going to go to that. I'm not going to cancel that or move that or whatever. But if I'm around, then I'll go. So, I've got a space in my diary. I'm trying to think what else I've learned this week. I think planning ahead is a really, really important thing. So we've got the holidays coming up, and obviously I try and take some time off. And I think, just quickly going back to the whole monetizing thing, when I work out my hourly rates or my rate, so to speak, I'm working on a 42-week year. Because I've got young children, I try and take time off. So I think working that into your strategy on how much you're charging, working out how much you need over that whatever your thing is, because your work might be seasonal, and really understanding that, and then charging around that, so that allows for your 10 weeks off, so to speak, per year.
I like that. And I think also making sure that your hourly rate is, that you're not basing everything on just your hourly rate, is that you look at the value.
Overheads,
because, for me, my hourly rate to work with me one-to-one is reasonably high, but I can't deliver that all the time. It's not as high as a lot of other people's, but I can't do that for 8 hours a day. I just can't, because of what it takes out of me. And so in effect, what you're paying for is you're paying for the rest of you're sort of almost paying for the rest of the day because of what I've put into it. And when you come and you pay somebody like Katrina to have your photographs taken, you're not actually paying for that time that she stopped, from the time that the shutter opens to the shutter stops.
Exactly.
You're paying for all of the learning and expertise that went into it to get there.
I had an interesting, I don't do wedding photography, but I had an interesting conversation with someone saying, oh my gosh, my wedding photographer's costing me £1,500 and this and that. I said, okay, are you just digital? No. So you've got an album? Yeah. I said, do you know that costs the photographer money? So that's probably a decent album. It's going to cost £300 to £500. Okay, so take that off that. Okay, £1,000 you've got left. So how many times have you had a chat with your photographer? Well, we had a half a day with him. Oh, right, so you had a half day going through your guest list, all of that.
Yeah. And he's going to the wedding.
And then the whole day at the wedding? Okay. But what, bridal prep, groom prep? Yeah, so there's two photographers then. Yeah, so they've got to take money off for the second photographer. Yeah, okay. And then it takes 5 days, 4 to 5 days to edit your images.
I'll tell you what, that person's too cheap.
And they were like, okay. I said, so if you break that down, that's almost 8 days worth of work. Let's just put it out there. I said, how much do you earn per day? And they went, oh, yeah. And they went quiet. I said, exactly. Anyway.
No, I
get right uppity on that one.
Coaching and coaching. Oh, that per hour. Did you know?
Exactly. What difference has it made to you? If somebody sits down with you for an hour and a half and pays £300, and out of that they stop doing something that they would have carried on doing for a year, or they start doing something that it would have taken them a year to realise that's what they were doing, how much is that actually worth? It's not about time, is it?
No.
But anyway, look, we're disappearing off down a rabbit hole. We're supposed to be talking about other stuff. So let's, what have I learnt this week? I've learnt not to get distracted whilst I'm on a radio show. I don't know what I've learnt. I don't know what I've learnt this week. We'll come back to that. Have you got a book recommendation, Adele?
I have.
It better not be. I'll tell you what, if it's him again, you're out.
No,
you'll have to go and stand out in the corridor.
I've kept this very quiet. It's better than that. It's my own. I'm a published author in a book project.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. So the actual, I couldn't say anything. It was published on Saturday on my birthday, but the when I leave here, the socials will go out, and it's Women Leading in a New World. And it's a collective project of 12 of us that have written about our own stories, and mine is leading through a new type of change. Play on the word change. There's some really amazing stories in there. So yeah, for the first time, it's my own book. Yay! Sorry, I got to do that.
So you've got one whoop. Okay.
Thing is, though,
we don't whoop, do we?
I took Mr. B off of the list.
Thank you. All.
Sorry. Good Stephen Bartlett. I've got a bit of thing going on.
We love Stephen.
But you still managed to mention him, didn't you? No,
my own book.
Katrina, have you got a book recommendation?
Yeah, not his Marmite. So Gary Vaynerchuk, I hope I've pronounced that right, Hooked. The reason why I like that book is because it talks about entrepreneurs' journey, their pitfalls, what they've learned, their failures, etc., etc. And I found it really hard. Yeah, some of the stories were, you know, you think, oh, I'm having a really bad day, or my year's been really bad in business. Read that book, because it will literally show you actually, you know, people
Hooked.
Were, yeah, Hooked. It's an amazing book. So, yeah.
So put it into context a little bit, maybe.
So I think it's more about other people's business journey and the problems that they've had. And it gives you, and then he obviously then does some commentary about how you can get through that, etc. And yeah, I love him. A bit, like I said, he is a Marmite.
Yeah, I'm. I don't hate him. but I find him a bit not full on. But I think sometimes we need to step back and relax.
I don't think the man knows how.
I know, but I'm sure at some point he does. Mm. But I think, you know, different people have different levels of what they need to do to make their business sustainable, and I don't see a lot of that reflected in his mantras and what he talks about. And I think it's okay when you sort of get a bit long in the tooth, like me, maybe. But I think for some people sort of starting out, who maybe I'll say quite young, but
you've got to have thick skin to listen to what he's got to say.
It's not so much that. I think if you're not careful, if you just sort of take what he says and you listen to it and you go, okay, this is the way I'm going to go, you can end up. I think it's a quick way to burn out. And that your expectations of what you can achieve without sort of stopping or taking a rest are not reasonable. And I wouldn't want one of my kids, for instance, taking on board that.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop him. But
no, I just love the messages that he gives to the community, as in I listen to his podcast and the advice that he gives, and then the people come back a year or two later and share their stories. For me, he's built that community, and it's more the community that I'm interested in.
Perhaps it's
him.
Just I don't want to work that hard.
No, maybe not.
Perhaps it's the guilt. I'm going, oh my God, what would Gary Vee do?
But
he wouldn't be doing this with the wine.
No, but this is it. But that's why I love the book, because it's other people's stories. It's not just him. It's the others, and that's what I liked about that.
Where are we going now? Maddie, we are going to be coming to you in a minute with these ones. So have a think as we go round. So what is failure? What is, Adele, have you got a failure, a recent failure, something that did not go very well?
I was delegating a piece of work, and I wasn't as clear as I wanted to be, because I was flying out to do something else. So it's just caused me some rework. And so for me, it's like, no, don't take that extra time to delegate that piece of work. Was probably my recent failure. You know, it's just caused me some rework I didn't need to happen. And you know, when you give the message, I'll do that, and you walk out the door and you think, I'm not sure. And I wasn't sure. So yeah, again, it's that for me. It's do not give instructions as you're going out the door. That was a
Have you got a recent like failure?
Failure is a difficult word, isn't it? I think a lot of it is you think something's suited for that time, and you think it's going to work for that time, and then it doesn't. It's not the right time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think my example is more, we tried a promotional thing with lockdown, obviously we're coming out of that apparently, and we're supposed to be recovering from all of that. And there was a project that I put a lot of effort and time into, thinking that we'd recovered a bit quicker post-pandemic than maybe and so I thought that this project would be timely. And it wasn't quite naivety, I think it was more hopefulness that businesses were more at that place, that they could jump on board with this. And it was to do with a workshop that I was running, and so I think it was more of a, it's not the right time, and I need to just park it. It's not a failure, it's a, this is not right now, maybe I've got my research slightly a bit wrong, and we need to put it back to it, like next year maybe.
No, and we were talking about that actually. What we were saying with the big show last year is that actually people have taken longer to recover than we thought.
That's exactly
and we said about the big show, we was excited last year. This year I'm even more, because we were literally on last week's show saying actually people have taken longer to recover, which is why that could be something we were talking about.
So I'm not being, and don't be too hard on yourself.
No,
that's my biggest message, you know, learn from it, sit back, make some notes, go, why did that not work? Which I have done. I've had a talking to myself. and park it, and maybe revisit it, because it just might be the wrong time.
Maddie, have you got something that's not gone well?
Can it be anything?
It can be anything. Anything.
Well, yesterday I got on the wrong part of the train. I had to get two trains. Usually I get two, and I had to switch at like Faversham, but this time I didn't, but you just had to...
The front or the back carriages,
I heard the announcement, but it didn't register in my head. So then I literally just sat there, and then it got really late, and I was like, I don't think I'm meant to be here. So I asked the couple, I was like, I'm going to Chesterfield, like, should I be here? And they're like, no, you're meant to be at the back. And I started moving towards the back, and then the train was moving.
No.
So then I was just sort of... carried on walking and just had another bit of the train, and then just got off and like got a bus to another bit. It was a bit of a...
We've all done
I've
it.
Done it.
We've
yeah, done
I've
it.
I've done it.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Done it as well. So, yes.
I like that.
So, this is what I'd call a slow failure.
Okay.
Actually,
oh,
it sort of went wrong over a longer period of time. As we came out of lockdown, I decided to set up some events that were sort of purely around retail and pampering, that sort of thing. So they were seasonal. They were supposed to run at Christmas, sort of spring, summer and autumn. And I didn't really sort of sit down and think about how they fit into everything else that I'm doing. They were just events. I run events. And the failure was actually a lack of planning and a lack of what is this I'm trying to achieve. And when I look at it, it was like something off of Sesame Street. Do you remember Sesame Street? Where they'd have these things and they go, hey, one of these things just doesn't belong.
Yeah. Which one?
And it was that. They weren't going particularly well, partly because of lockdown, because people were going out of business, people were still reluctant to come out. But that wasn't the only reason. I think they weren't going very well because I sort of knew in the back of my mind that it wasn't where I was going, and that there was actually an awful lot of... It takes a lot of energy to put on an event and promote it and publicise it. And I'll tell you what, I was going like stink. I really was. But I wasn't enjoying it, but I just kept going.
I've committed.
I did. Yeah, it was. I've committed. So I just sort of kept going. And then it had to reach crunch point. I went, this just is wrong. And that's when I realised I wasn't an event organiser. I'm more of a community. I'm actually creating a community. It's an entirely different thing. So that was a failure. It was a failure in terms of my time. It was a failure in terms of everything else. But really, it was a failure of thought and planning and strategy. It was a failure to sit down and think things through. It was not a panic reaction, but it was a, hey, let's organise some events. Everything's opening back up. I'll do more events. So that was my failure. So, okay, we're on to something a little bit happier now. So this is about your superpower. So I'll tell you what, we've only just started this, and we are going to have trouble, aren't we, with this? Because you can only have one superpower. Well, what are we going to do?
So for us, it's what's our superpower of the week?
No, well, maybe. No. I'm not that super. I've tried. But I'll tell you what, we'll start. So we'll have our superpower. So Adele, what's your superpower? What's the one thing you are totally amazing at?
Resilience. That's right. And when you read my chapter, I'm not plugging the book, but no, it's resilience. And it's not, people say resilience is you get knocked down, you get back up again. I get knocked down, but I think about why I got knocked down and what can I do to stop it from happening again and come back again. So it's having that resilience of whatever's thrown at me. And if that's what people say.
I've just got the song in my head now.
Get down. What's your superpower, Katrina?
I think it goes to the key message we talked about with confidence. I think for me, it's working with people. My superpower is I project my confidence onto people because I have lots of it to give. And so those that come into my studio will take a little bit of that away and feel awesome during their time with me. So that is my superpower. Mm. And I'm also Wonder Woman.
You are, well, if you're Wonder Woman, it can't, yeah. That just means you've got very big knickers, dear. It doesn't.
Yeah, that would be the menopause and the pelvic floor that we need to work on. So you and I later, Adele.
I've got some exercises for that.
Maddie, is this ever a question that you have ever been asked before? What is the one thing that you are amazing at?
No.
Right. Good. Good, because we wanted something that was just a little bit different that made people think and also made them realise that we very often tend to focus on what we're not very good at, and we tend to totally ignore things we are very good at and assume that everybody else is really good at them as well. And do you know, they're just not. So, Maddie, what are you really good at?
Maybe, like, working on things, because, like, I sort of, like, see I'm sort of not doing well in something, or, like, it's not going too well for me, and then I start, like, trying to build up on it. So, like, my confidence, I used to be really bad. Like, after COVID, I was, like, not confident at all, and I'm slowly, like, gaining it again. And then, like, I also wasn't getting the best grades in, like, when I was younger. I'm not really too sure, like, year 9. And then I just started, like, working a lot harder for them, and I feel like, I don't know, I'm just changing that aspect.
Can I also suggest that perhaps your superpower there is recognising where you're not happy with what you're doing? Mm. I think that's something that a lot of people find really difficult to do. They're just like, oh, I'm not happy. This isn't going very well. But they don't actually know what it is that's not quite right. So you recognise that it was your confidence wasn't particularly high. And then once you know what it is that you're dealing with, you can sort of put an action plan in place. So I think your superpower is actually the recognition.
Self-awareness.
Yes.
Oh! As she was talking, I thought self-awareness. Oh, my God, Adele, jinx.
That is
amazing.
Yes.
There's so many people. I mean, even now in my 40s, I know obviously people are older than me and younger than me, have no self-awareness. So the fact that you're on that journey now is brilliant.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. But that actually is my superpower, which, like an awful lot of superpowers, is also my downfall, which is I can think on my feet. So for this radio show, I don't need to send out questions. If stuff goes wrong, I know 100% it will be fine. It doesn't matter. I know I know that whatever anybody says or does on the other side, I will be absolutely fine. And I also do it at events as well. You know, if something goes wrong, if the tables collapse or whatever it is that happens, people don't turn up, you know. Or last, for the Women in Business big show last year, I lost 3 speakers at 8:30 through COVID. Oh, 3 speakers, and I'd filled them by 9.
Yes, you had.
Wow.
And that is, I think, on my feet. Mm-hmm. That is my thing.
Well done.
My downfall for that, because obviously I couldn't just say I'm amazing. I have to counteract it with something. Sorry, I've got to balance it out with something that's crap. But the downside of that is that I find planning difficult. I tend to just, you know, I just stand up and do stuff.
So you put a complimentary team around you.
Yeah, I do. I don't, because you have to tell them things, don't you? You have a sort of plan in place to be able to tell them things. So I find...
You're not psychic.
What's yeah, wrong with you? And so yes, but I think on my feet.
You do.
So that's that. We've done that now. Right, I think it's time we need to focus on the key topic today. So we're going to be focusing on getting confident, taking photos done. You know, when you're in business, I don't know, there are going to be people who argue that you don't need photos for business, and that's fine. I'm sure there are ways around it, but I think the easiest thing is to admit that we're in an age now where we have photos taken for our business. And I see it as sort of two ways of having photos done. You know, it's stuff that you sort of have to plan and prepare for, where you have a discussion with somebody like Katrina, and you go out and you make a plan. You say, okay, I need it for this, that and the other. And then there's sort of the ad hoc stuff, where you get stuff done dynamically, you know, on the hoof, you're taking stuff there and you post it out, and it wouldn't necessarily be something that you'd put on as a profile image or on a brochure. But I think there's a really good place for both of them. But because I won't have posed photos, and nearly everything I've got is like me going, well, of course you can't see that because it's radio. But I think, you know, the best way of doing it, I think, is because if you are uncomfortable about having your photo taken in business, it means that there's something else. There's going to be something else underlying it as well that is going to be affecting your business and possibly your personal life in a different way as well. And so you're actually sort of better off, I think, you know, grabbing it by the balls and dealing with the underlying problem. And that's what we've got Katrina here for, obviously. Once again, I have a problem having my photo taken, so guess what? I've booked the solution into the studio. So, sorry, just flicking through. I do have notes.
She's in plan.
Look. So, let's start, I think, first of all, about the mechanics of headshots. Mm-hmm. Because it's my understanding, and I think I've seen this myself, that there are good headshots and there are just crap. And the sort of why would you get a headshot done? So I'm thinking LinkedIn profile, you might want to put it on a business card, you might want to put it on a brochure, you might want to put it on your website as a team, you know, a team photo, that sort of thing. And yes, you can get something sort of dynamic and of the moment, but if you're not careful, certainly on something like LinkedIn and Facebook, where you've got a profile, if you've got a lot of background behind you, mm-hmm. it actually becomes sort of quite messy.
Yeah, you've got to stand out.
Yeah. Yeah. So the mechanic, what makes a good headshot?
Lighting is your friend, and obviously not having a cluttered backdrop, as you were saying. So, you know, people, 9 times out of 10 people have got walls in their house if you're going to be taking your own pictures.
That's a very good idea. So how could people take
a good picture of themselves?
A good picture of themselves.
I'm doing myself out of a job, clearly. Yeah.
So I don't think you are, to be honest.
Faster Photo is going to close tomorrow after this advice given today.
No. I don't think you are. And I come across this quite a lot, actually, with sort of giving information away for free. Is there are people
2080
who...
rules.
Yeah, there are people who are just going to take that and they're never going to get it. And there are other people who are going to go, this woman knows what she's talking about. I think I need to go to see her and get whatever it is done. So, but let's go with you're taking a picture at home. Yep. How you want to go on to, let's just say, LinkedIn. How do you do that?
So I would, there's a number of things you can do. So let's just, so you've asked me that question. I want a photograph for LinkedIn and we want a plain white backdrop. Yeah. Because you want to stand out. Yeah. Two things, you need to use your windows. So having your window to one side of you and maybe going to the range or somewhere, not sponsored, and getting some sort of big cardboard. It has to be big enough and wide enough that you could then either stick it on your wall with blue tack if you've got, you know, wallpaper. You're not going to want that in your image. And just having plain white, you can even do wrapping paper. If you can get some nice wrapping paper, have that on the wall as well. And kind of make your backdrop. But having it so that the light is to the side of you, the upside profile. Now, one thing that I do these workshops a lot is radiator foils. Radiator foil is amazing on reflecting light back on your face. Yep. So if you've got a huge window, have it on, say, the right side of your face and you're facing your camera. You've got the wall behind you with your, you know, wallpaper or whatever you're using as your backdrop. And then you've got the radiator foil, which is then bouncing the light back from the window to the other side
so
of
that you've
face.
Got so that as far as you can you've actually got some even you've got yes. even lighting
yeah. Now radio okay. foils are great because you can have them as long or as short as you want them. You can cut them. Yeah, some people use tin foil, but I think that's a bit of a waste. Radiator foils are great because you can then hang it on the back of a chair or washing line. You know, the indoor dryers. You could literally have it hooked onto an indoor dryer and then reflecting the light back onto your face. The only problem is, as you've got glasses on today, glasses are a big problem when it comes to taking pictures because you're going to find that the light, you're going to see that reflection of the window in your glasses and you're going to see the reflection of the radiator foils on your glasses as well. Yeah. So the best way to get around that is by just pushing your glasses just up behind your ears slightly onto your head and so that your glasses are kind of tilted forward slightly. Yeah, and that doesn't show any reflection.
Hang on a minute, hang on. So, I've got to take my things? I've got to take these things off my ears, so I can't hear now. Hang on, right. I just want to get this so I can explain. That. So, hang on a minute.
So your glasses are on.
Yeah. So you
just push the back bit where your ears are. You push it up slightly. So it's, and then push your glasses back down.
Right. So basically, you're pushing your glasses almost sort of slanted so that they're facing towards the floor.
Yep.
Okay.
And that stops the reflection.
Can you see that?
No, you can't see that. And so that's my big top tip. Now the other thing is, women have, especially me. I've put on a bit of weight and I'm getting a bit of a fatter neck as I get older. So chins are a really big thing. So posture is a massive thing when taking a picture. Yep. So just think about your mugshot. You know, you rock.
I don't think I've got one. No, everybody, if we did that, would have one, wouldn't they?
But it's pushing your shoulders back. Yeah.
You want to see it here? Chin, you want to see it? We need to get on video, don't we? We're absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
So it's shoulders back, it's chin forward. So give me some Brucey chin. Good game. You know, like that. And I always say that in Photoshops. I tell you, in photo shoots, I say the most hilarious things. I really need to write them down. So Adele's now taking a picture of us, now doing the chin. So shoulders back, chin forward. It may feel weird. I say to my clients, the weirder it feels, the better. Trust me. Just trust me. And then that, I'm making up words, it elongates the neck. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's a catechism I use a lot. It elongates the neck.
I don't think, you see, this could be another one of my, I think I look a lot better than I actually am.
It feels weird.
Hang on, you're giving me something else to be paranoid about. I've got the very high forehead. Now I've got everything else. Now I've got the fact I didn't think I had a double chin.
I wasn't looking at you when I said it. I was more referring to myself. But, you know, take it as you want. Take it on the chin. Ding.
It just gets worse and worse, doesn't it?
No. But practice that. And trust me, take a picture of you normal stance. And even video.
I don't think I will if it's okay.
Yeah, but even when I see clients that when we do video work, I don't know if you've ever noticed, as soon as a video comes out, people up their chin. When they're talking, they're up their chin. It's like, no, stop, bring your chin down. And they do this thing and their neck is slightly slanted backwards. Don't care.
I'm going to have to get a mirror out in a minute. Practice. Just check this. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Practice your positions. Know exactly and have a mirror in front of you so you can see. Or obviously, you know, you can turn your phone around, can't you, if you're using a mobile.
So let's assume we're using a mobile. A lot of them now have just super, super cameras on them, don't they?
They do. They have portrait mode.
So where do you put your camera?
If you can get, some really cheap tripod stands that you can then just, but you have to make sure they're long ones that they can stretch, and you can get mobile phone holders to go on the top. So I would invest in one of them. You can get them for like £15, nice and cheap. So it's cheaper than paying for a photographer.
So where do you
radiator foils and your stand, your natural light window, your quids in,
and you can very often you can get them to do a delay, don't you? So, but where do you put your camera? Does it go above? Does it go below?
Your camera, I would have it just slightly above your eye line, just slightly. Yeah. So you're looking at the camera and it's slightly above your eye line. Yeah, not below. So you look kind of, but you're making sure that your posture, your chin's out. Good game, good game. Your shoulders are back. Yeah. And the camera, so you can see it in the square. You should be able to center it so you can frame it. You can put it on your camera, you can put a square. And you need to make sure that you're centering to that, but your camera needs to be slightly up.
So it's slightly above, looking down a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not looking up your own nose.
No. And again, depending on what platform you're using it for. So for instance, if you're using it for a banner for YouTube, your phone needs to be portrait. Yeah, sorry, landscape.
Excellent point.
And if you're using it for Instagram, anything squared or anything like that, or LinkedIn, then it needs to be portrait mode. So landscape for website banners or anything to do with a website or social media, as in Facebook, but anything else, you would need to do portrait mode.
So thank you for that. That's really super tips.
Now I've just given myself all those tips. I'm going to be out of work tomorrow.
I it really doesn't work like that.
I know,
does
it? No.
So I think that's okay. That'll sort of get you started, won't it? But when you go to a photographer and you're having headshots, you get an awful lot more than really, I think, what you can realistically do at home.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So If I came to you and said, okay, Katrina, I'm new in business, or I need to refresh my image, I'm coming to the studio. What sort of thing would you be doing? What sort of things would you be thinking about? And what about the other thing is the orientation actually on the headshots? Because you see people doing all sorts of daft things, don't you? You see people with half their heads missing. You see people with like three foot of space above them. What's a sort of good?
So that's the fault of a photographer called Peter Hurley. So Peter Hurley started that trend where you kind of chop off your head slightly.
Yeah.
That's not kind of my style. So how to choose a photographer? You'd need to find a photographer. They can take the most amazing pictures. You know, technically the lighting can be right. And that person looks really good in that image. And you might see that image and you go, okay, that's for me. But then my advice is to find some videos of them working. Yeah, try and find their behind the scenes stuff and see how they're working, see how their studio is set up. Because one of the things that I find with women especially is they're very nervous about having their picture taken. They're very nervous, especially post-pandemic. People are very nervous of going anywhere new, leaving their comfort. They're going the routine, you know, the new. Because this is taking them out of their comfort zone. So try and look at some pictures of their studio. It's not just about the technical aspects of the picture and how beautiful the end product is, it's about that experience as well. So I have a lot of women that have come to me that have had a male photographer before and felt really uncomfortable during the shoot because they didn't feel that the male photographer understood how to pose them. And one lady said she actually came away from crying from the shoot because she just didn't like her images, because as we were saying before, it's that perception. When you see the image back, it's not you. Now there's a psychology to that, because I did this with one lady. She looked at me and she went, that's not me. And I said, it is. I said, hang on a minute, one second. And I flipped the image round, because she's so used to seeing herself in selfie portrait mode on her phone or a mirror.
Okay.
She was seeing left to right, not right to left.
Oh.
Yeah. So when you have a client saying to me, oh, I'm not sure about that image, flip the image round. You can change the image so that it's going the other way. And they go, oh, that's me.
Do you know, I hadn't thought about that.
That's true. We live in selfie, don't we?
Most people, yeah.
Okay. And I don't take selfies.
No, but even in the mirror when you're getting
ready. Yeah, this is true, yeah.
Yeah, so it's how to identify. So even something simple like that, if you've got, and this is a tip for photographers, if you've got a client coming in that's really not quite sure, flip the images around and they'll go, oh, actually, yes, I resonate now.
Yeah.
But confidence is key to everything. So I would try, if someone was really nervous about having the images and they said, look, I don't like my pictures being taken. Every photograph I've had, I don't like it. I get them to come into the studio. I get them to look at the environment. They know the drive down. They know where they can park. They can come into the studio. They can have a coffee with me. I'm not charging for that time. Maybe I should, but I'm not. we're having a conversation and we're planning the content. As we were saying earlier on with the other show with Lucy, it's understanding what the purpose of those photographs is for. Yeah, you could have a standard headshot for your business card, but that might not work for a personal branded shoot. So really planning what the, because like I said before, I know loads of people that have had professional photographs done, but they haven't thought about what they're using them for.
So what would you class as a personal branded shoot? So what sort of, actually in real practical terms here, what sort of photographs would you get?
For me, I would define it as action shots. So you doing the job that people expect, because the thing with headshots is, and some photographers may disagree with this, but most of them do agree with me. When you look at someone's headshots on LinkedIn, it doesn't tell you what they do. So, and there's some businesses, some genres of businesses where people need to connect with that person. Say, for instance, counselling services. I get a lot of counsellors that come to me for headshots. So a normal, what I call mugshot's not going to cut it. They need to be sitting in their space that they're working from. They need to come across as natural and welcoming, not a boring white backdrop. So photographing them with where you would expect to see them working, that's what I would call a personal branded shoot. So it's showing your wares, it's showing what you do in a storyboard style. So I always storyboard with my clients. We come in, I say, we can do the boring headshot because that's the boring bit. We'll get that out of the way. Let's have some fun with a branded shoot. And then we will storyboard that content. Okay, what's it used for? Is it a marketing material? Because again, you know, you might be doing a workshop. You might be promoting some sort of product. Your photographs to promote that will be different to maybe a photograph that you're going to be using on LinkedIn. So it's really planning ahead. If you're going to go to that time to have your makeup done, your hair done and all of that, women, obviously men can do as well, then you might as well utilise that experience and add on another hour to the shoot to get the images that you need across more than one usage. Does that make sense?
So that you've got the whole lot. Katrina, thank you. We're almost at the top of the hour now. Thank you so much. I think those are really just sort of useful, I don't like to call them tips, but sort of for you to plan having your photographs done as part of your branding and actually sort of thinking it through and how it can support your business. Really, it may not be forever, but how it can support your business perhaps over the coming months in the different ways that you want to promote it. So it's actually almost sort of part of your business journey. It's not just about going along and having some pretty pictures done, is it? You know, so although we were talking about, you know, not showing, you know, the, what is that flap? I don't know, that thing under there. Well, I've lost my words. You know, it's actually more than that, isn't it? It's about thinking about your business and what you want to portray and the best way to do that.
And one last thing just before is making sure that the photographer actually is fit for your business too. Making sure that how they work is in line with how you work.
That there's a values match. Katrina, how can people get hold of you?
Website normally, so Faster Photo, but it's Faster Photo on our socials. So it's Fast, the number 2, FOTO.
And you have workshops as well as...
We do DIY workshops, helping people to do their own photographs and stuff,
Okay. And that is really so useful, because there are just times when you want to do some photos as well and you don't have the time, or it's just not right to get a photographer in. You're there, you just need to do it. Katrina, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing so much today. I don't know what I'm saying now. We are going to be back at some point. So thank you to Adele.
Thank you.
And thank you also to Maddie. So we are closing now, and we will see you all next week on the Women in Business Radio Show. In the meantime, catch us on Spreaker, catch us on iTunes, catch us on all of the podcast channels, and we will see you all again soon. Bye.
Tune in next week to the Women in Business Radio Show for more stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you grow your business.